Well, hello there. First off, thank you for tuning in and for downloading this podcast. We here at Portland Community College are glad to have you on board for our journey exploring sustainability and environmental justice in higher education. If you have a good story to share or would just like to know more, please do pop on the web and go to pcc.edu/sustain. There you can find ways to connect or see what else we're up to. PCC was just ranked second overall in North America on the ASHE 2018 Sustainability Campus Index for Associate Colleges, and we're happy to share with you how we got here. Now that we've got this plug out of the way, we'll get into the episode. Thanks again for tuning in. From Portland Community College, this is PCC Sustain Me. I'm Joe Culhane, and today we'll be looking at power, privilege, and these 12 years the new IPCC report is giving us to right this ship.
Boom, boom, darkness falls, headlights in the air.
Well, thanks for joining me, folks. I'm really glad you've stopped by for a listen. I've got a bit of a cold, so please bear with me and thank you for dealing with this froggy voice I've got going on. So here's the scoop with today's episode. There's so many challenging and troubling things going on that I felt compelled to do a bit of real talk on a personal level with you in a vulnerable and honest way. Ultimately, when we get to the other side, my goal is to leave us at the very least with a bit of hope and perhaps just a wee bit more compassion, grace, and acceptance for where we find ourselves, while still being rightfully pissed as hell and ready to take meaningful, mindful actions and demand some change. Because this is the space and time to flip this old problematic paradigm and welcome in the more equitable and ecologically sound one we know is possible. I would first like to acknowledge that this program is being recorded on the traditional village sites of the Multnomah, Kathlamet, Clackamas, bands of the Chinook, Tualatin Kalapuya, Molalla, and many other tribes who made their homes along the Columbia River. Multnomah is a band of Chinooks that lived in this area. We thank the descendants of these tribes for being the original stewards and protectors of these lands since time immemorial. We also acknowledge that Portland, Oregon has the 9th largest urban Native American population in the U.S., with over 380 federally recognized tribes represented in the urban Portland metropolitan area. We also acknowledge the systemic policies of genocide, relocation, and assimilation that still impact many indigenous Native American families today. We are honored by the collective work of many Native nations, leaders, and families who are demonstrating resilience, resistance, revitalization, healing, and creativity. We are honored to be guests upon these lands. Thank you, and thanks also to our colleagues at the Portland State University Indigenous Nations Studies Program for crafting this acknowledgement.
I tried to drown my sorrows, then learned that they could swim. So after two tomorrows, I decided to jump in and swim along with all that went wrong. My baby blue, I almost
lost. So this episode, like the land acknowledgement that starts each episode of this podcast, is about dismantling the power dynamics and examining the privilege and privileges in a way that brings in the crucially important narrative of all the marginalized voices who have been systematically shut down through institutional oppression. The history of the United States, specifically its Western expansion, the whole manifest destiny and doctrine of discovery that combined the colonial settler movement and Christian doctrine, led to some horrific decimations of the indigenous population that lived on this continent for thousands and thousands of years. If you want a shocking example of how this story is glossed over for children, take a couple minutes to watch the old Schoolhouse Rock Elbow Room video. Please do it. It's amazing. And not in a good way. Sincerely, though, it has become apparent to me that there still needs to be a lot of discussion and awareness of what is going on with power and privilege, especially white privilege, and most especially white male privilege. You might be one of those people who identify as a white male, and if you're also able-bodied, heterosexual, and are a descendant of a colonizing or rich country, you, my friend, have a great deal of privilege. More than most, in fact. I happen to be able to check all those boxes as well. And, I'm also relatively fit in that productive age between 20 and 50, and English is my first language. So there's even more privileges to explore. Now, mind you, these are all socially constructed categories, and each one of them has nuances and variables that add layers of complexity to this idea of privilege. But in a nutshell, if you share these identities, which you've likely considered to be normal all of your life, I'd like you to take a moment to consider that these are all unearned advantages that you were born with. Because of this, it would be perfectly understandable if you have gone through your life with little awareness of how these have benefited you. You probably haven't considered these things to be something that makes you more of an agent and not a target. And what I mean by this is, if you happen to identify outside of any of these primary areas of privilege, you have been a target of oppression. And before I go any further, I do want to point out that all of us, everyone, at some point or another, is a target and can and does experience oppression. That's not what I'm really here to talk about. The point is, and I can assure you, as I came to understand my own privileges and how I got to where I am through so many doors that were open to me that were not open to so many others, it led to feeling guilty and feeling shame, and I got defensive. And it took quite a bit of time before I transformed all that fragility into humility. This topic is huge, and thankfully there are tons of resources out there to better understand and comprehend these issues. I've recently joined the Illumination Project here at PCC, which is based on institutional oppression, social justice, and the Theater of the Oppressed. The Theater of the Oppressed was created by Augusto Ball in Brazil, and the program has taken many forms across the world since he created it. At PCC, I'm among a couple dozen student educators who are participating in this program, and I'm nearly the only person in the group who checks so many of the boxes of privilege that make me much more of an agent in today's world and much less of a target. So I'm a part of the dominant culture. And you are too, if you see yourself in these ways. And it's also important to realize, even if you don't see yourself in these ways, others do. So now, with all this understanding, knowledge, I do a lot of listening. And I'll be interviewing fellow students and our director of the Illumination Project in a future episode or two, though I touch on this now just to acknowledge that learning about this reality and becoming more present and aware of the injustices that happen daily in the U.S. and around the world are serious issues, and they need to be addressed. They need to be acknowledged, reckoned with, healed, and then transformed. This situation with Brett Kavanaugh and the greater storyline here in America with the Me Too movement is one of the areas that we really need to reckon with. And you'd have to live underground to not know what I'm talking about at this point. And here's the truth. I come from this land and am among a generation that drank heavily and partied hard. And I was under the impression it was okay to pinch girls' butts and look at women in this domineering and sexualized way. And, you know, there were a couple of occasions where I know my actions bordered on sexual assault, and that is just not okay with me. You know, I was young and 19 and 20 years old and a product of my, you know, upbringing, but that doesn't excuse this behavior that is a part of the culture in America. This male-dominant, machismo-driven rape culture that nearly all men here in America have been a product of these past several decades, it's disgusting and absolutely needs to change. It is not okay to have these men in great positions of power in our country who get angry and defensive and work to attack the brave women who have come forward to share the violence they have received and experienced. We need to change this narrative, and we need to let women lead too. We need to have these difficult conversations and teach our young boys and young men that these behaviors are unacceptable. We need to provide better examples of how people should be treated in our homes, in our entertainment, and in our culture at large. Kindness, patience, compassion, empathy, and the ability to forgive one another in the face of these terrible and often very ugly circumstances is also going to be important too. These are tough issues, and they need to be reckoned with. And like I said, I share them with complete humility and honesty and transparency because it's important. We need to do this. So I suppose I should also still touch on the IPCC 1.5 degrees Celsius report for a moment and bring it all around to that as well. The Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change, just a few days ago, actually, released a report titled Global Warming of 1.5 Degrees Celsius. By now, you may have come across one of the slew of responses to the report, but if you haven't, I'll do my best to deliver a short and concise gist of what it says. We're screwed. Okay. It says a bit more than that, but the chances are, you know, we're not screwed necessarily. Something along the lines of a snowball's chance in hell or something to that effect, you know, things could work out. Sincerely, though, it essentially says we have basically about 12 years. So by 2030, we need to have dramatically reduced our fossil fuel in carbon dioxide or CO2 emissions, and by 2050 stopped emitting them entirely. Oh, and also have come up with some carbon sequestering magic to clear some of the CO2 from our atmosphere by that time as well. that technology doesn't exist yet, but, you know, we'll get there, right? The report doesn't say it is impossible for us to achieve this, though it also realistically states many of the ways we will have to collectively, as in all humanity across the globe, are going to have to shift the way we live pretty significantly if we are to keep the warming to 1.5 degrees Celsius. We are on a path, if we continue business as usual, to skyrocket past 1.5 degrees and could hit 4 to 6 or more degrees easily in Celsius by the end of this century. One of the points of the report was to impress upon humanity to realize that just a half degree increase is a whole lot more unpleasant, or to be more blunt, basically severely catastrophic in degrees, to not only, you know, humanity, but to so much of life on the planet currently. At this point, folks, it's pretty baked in that the next couple decades and beyond are going to be much worse than they are presently. And for the coming generations, we are leaving them with not much of a paradise to inherit here on Earth. The nuts and bolts of it are this, though. Just straight up. Capitalism has to go. The patriarchy, colonial, power dynamics that have dominated our human story for hundreds and thousands of years, it needs to go. We need to face all the mistakes we've made. We need to look at racism, sexism, and all forms of systemic and systematic oppression that have caused this hugely imbalanced form of what we have the audacity to call civilization these days. And we cannot wait for permission to start this process. At the beginning, I said something about leaving this whole, leaving, you know, with some semblance of hope or optimism. I'm going to see if I can still achieve that. I suppose for starters, there's this. Across the globe, in spite of the dozens and perhaps hundreds of hate groups and fascist organizations in positions of power, there are genuinely tens of thousands of groups and organizations who not only believe in a more fair, equitable, and just, and sustainable, of course, future, but they're also working towards that goal as I say these words. We are approaching a critical mass of people who think this way. Our very consciousness is shifting, and the time has come where people are saying enough is enough, and they're working to create, mobilize, and realize this better reality. It is happening all over the world, right now. There is reason for hope. There is reason to be optimistic in spite of the horrendous, very well-researched and documented report that has just been released as to what kind of future we're likely facing. Humanity has awesome potential, and we can find our way out of this mess. Make no mistake, though, we will have to do it together, with humility, patience, kindness, and most importantly, with not only women taking the lead, but all those who have been oppressed and so often most affected by the selfish and short-sighted choices that have led us to this shitty situation we're facing. The ones who have got us the most deeply into this mess are not the ones we should be counting on to get us out of it. In fact, we should not allow them to lead the charge. It is time to rise in solidarity with a sense of collaboration where we celebrate everyone's unique and awesome skills, talents, gifts, and assets, where we listen to the youth who had nothing to do with getting us here and to the elders who have gathered wisdom and through their many years on this incredible planet gained insight on the ways they could have done better. Now is the time for all good people to come to the aid of their humanity, to stare this Anthropocene head on, apologize for making this reality where we find ourselves, and then work with focus and determination to change our storylines and reintegrate into this world and away from the anthropocentric, human-centered storyline that has gotten us here, so damn close to total collapse. We can overcome. We shall overcome. If we choose to. Okay.
Love them all and let them all break your.
Okay. I'm tired and need to stay in front of this cold. Get a little sleep here. Thank you for tuning in. Next week, I'm pleased to share my upcoming conversation with Portland Community College's president, Mark Mitsui. And the week after that will be with Heather Hackman from Hackman Consulting, who is someone I have so much respect and appreciation for. Heather has been an inspiring figure in my life this past year, and I look forward to asking her questions and having her share some important wisdom and guidance on so much of what I have touched on today. And, you know, there's some real tough conversations or ideas touched on today. And I'll do my best to share as many links and resources as I can in the blog to some of the solution makers out there and social justice people who keep me inspired and motivated moving forward. One thing I didn't touch on and will also share links and resources about is just remembering self-care with all of this. Thankfully, last episode had some good stuff on that too. Thank you again for tuning in, folks. All the songs in today's episode are by my darling wife, Rachel Robinson, and this episode was recorded, edited, and produced by me, Joe Culhane. I really do appreciate you stopping in for a listen. We've got a lot of work to do moving forward, and it's important we're being honest with where we are at and what we're facing. And it is so crucially important to remember that we are all in this together. No matter what we do, we have to do it together. It really does behoove us to practice forgiveness and especially to love them all, folks. Every last one you meet.